What a difference a week makes.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not sure about you, but I've been giving God a round of applause since yesterday because it's so beautiful, the weather. As I mentioned last Sunday, we praise God in all kinds of weather, but we have to admit this is a very beautiful day that God has given to us here in July in Philadelphia. We are blessed. Amen. Amen. We're mindful also of the rescue effort taking place in Thailand. As those little children, those young boys are being rescued, we pray that all goes well. That all of them come out safe and alive. I invite you to pray with me and pray for me today as we remember that psalm that we sang together. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for God's mercy. Put your eyes on Jesus, not on me. Put your eyes on Jesus, not on the person beside you. Put your eyes on Jesus, that what comes out of my mouth might be what Jesus wants me to preach. So I ask you, Lord God, to cleanse me, open my heart and my mind and my soul to give your people what they need today to be nourished and strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This past week, I took a train ride down to Washington, D.C. Had a couple of days of rest, and so I noticed on the metro as I was moving about to my destination, there was a family there, and a little boy, maybe about 7 or 8 years old, was sitting with, I guess, his family, his mom, dad, whatever. And I noticed that he had a hat on, a baseball hat, a red baseball hat, and there were white letters across the front of his red baseball hat. And the words were, "Make America great again. Make America great again." We've all seen that baseball hat, haven't we? You might own one of those. I don't. But I couldn't help but think as I took my train ride that phrase, "Make America Great Again," has been used so often by both candidate and now President Donald J. Trump. He's developed that to be kind of his theme throughout his candidacy and almost the last 2 years of being president. He has certainly defined, as he sees it, what greatness, strength, and power mean for him. Greatness, strength, and power. Certainly, we heard this past week when he had a rally in Montana, how he defines greatness, strength, and power. Almost on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times, he tweets out messages that define what he thinks is greatness, strength, and power. Repeat after me. Greatness, strength, and power. I don't hear you. Greatness, strength, and power. We're going to preach about that today, church. But I'm going to preach about it from the lens of God. You see, I'm not going to let a politician or anybody hijack that phrase, greatness, strength, and power. But the preacher is called to preach. The preacher is called to teach the people of God what that means. What that means to be truly great, to have real strength, and what power looks like. Let's go to work on the word this morning. We gather on this 14th Sunday of ordinary time, and the church counts down these weeks. That's what we call it, ordinary time. Just simply counting down week by week, the days and weeks and months progress. We're already halfway through this year, 2018. you were paying attention, listening to this young child read today what St. Paul wrote to the people of Corinth, Corinthians, many, many centuries ago. He spoke and wrote about greatness, strength, and power. No doubt, Paul was a very strong man. But something happened to Paul on his way to Damascus. You might recall that Paul was going down to do what he did best, was to persecute Christians, to kill Christians. And his name wasn't Paul, his name was Bible study, his name was Saul. And the light of Christ knocked him down and changed his name and changed his life. And the word cried out, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir?" "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And that changed his life. It changed him around. He got up and the scales of blindness came off his eyes. He could see differently because when you come in contact with Jesus, something happens to you and your life is different. Your life is different when you come in contact with the living God. And so Paul would go out to preach the word to people throughout the entire region. But Paul still struggled. He struggled. And he tells us today about his struggle. He talks about that I may not become too elated, too puffed up, too proud because of all the blessings God had given to me. A thorn in the flesh I received. An angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from getting too proud. We don't know what Paul's issue was. He doesn't share it. We do know Paul had something he was dealing with. We do know that Paul had a struggle. We do know that Paul had a weakness, like everyone in this church. If you're too proud to admit it, you're only fooling yourself spiritually. Everyone, like Paul, has some thorn in the flesh. You got to watch the thorns.
Yeah, you do.
Those thorns in the flesh that irritate, that bothered him, the angel of Satan who beat him, the demons of his life. Again, we don't know what they were, but we do know Paul had issues. Is anybody in church? I didn't ask the question yet. Anybody in church? Got issues? And the rest of y'all are lying to yourself. How about a better question? A deeper question? How many of us know in our family or circle of friends someone who has an addiction? Raise your hand. Be honest. Yourself? Your family? Or your circle of friends? Be honest. An addiction. You know when you go to the casino? I won't even look at anybody this morning. And you know darn well you are spending your rent money, your tuition money, and you just keep thinking, I know I got the next one. I know I do. Or those folks who go and don't have any money and get in line to get the numbers. Y'all getting real quiet now. Legal? It's called addiction. Or those perhaps who know that they should not be drinking even a little bit because alcohol takes them there. Notice how folks change so quickly after it starts to flow. Somebody knows, I won't look around, somebody knows what I'm talking about today. When alcoholism lives in your house. My story. I could tell by the way my father closed the car door what kind of night it would be for us. Because of his addiction, the kindest, sweetest, quietest man until. How many of us know in our own circle those who are ravaged by drugs? I preached a few weeks ago about marijuana. Some folks didn't want to hear that. But why is it? I smell it all the time in this community and others. Why is it? One of my mentees says, I just can't cope with life unless I smoke. It's called addiction. Let's go there with technology. As good as it is, some of us are just wedded to our phones. Young people and elders. How many times we've seen people at dinner and cannot be free of their phone? Can somebody say addiction? Even in church. If you're sending out a message about what Father's preaching about, if you're on the word, I'm okay with that. But how many of us right now, are tied to your phone and can't even give God some time? I'm just trying to go there today, church. You see, Paul was keeping it real. He had struggle. He had issues. He had things he was dealing with. We don't know what they were, but Paul, like every human being, had struggle. And he asked God, take it from me. How many times do we pray, Lord, take it from me. Take it from me, Lord. I don't want it anymore. How many times do we say, God, just take this issue off my back? And God says, no. No. God says no to our prayers sometimes. How dare we come to God and tell God what to do? God is God and we're not. God told Paul, no, I will not take it from you. Because my grace is enough. Give me only your love and your grace, St. Ignatius said. That's enough for me. I will not take away your cross, but I will give you the grace to carry it, and I'll be carrying it with you. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. You see, in the eyes of God, strength, greatness, and power really come by being humble and clinging and leaning on the everlasting arm of Jesus. You gotta lean sometimes. You gotta lean sometimes, church. You gotta lean. Y'all ain't with me. You gotta lean on Jesus. That's where your strength comes from. Your real Christian strength comes from when you come humbly before the Lord and get on your knees and say, Lord, I know it's tough, Lord. The struggle is great, Lord, but I'm gonna keep on leaning on you and trusting in you and loving you. That's where we find our greatness, church. Because real people who are strong don't have to bully anybody else. You don't have to. You don't have to tell somebody how great you are if you truly know you are a child of God. You have to go around boasting about those things because you know that Jesus is close. And that's what got the folks all twisted and tied up today in the gospel. They didn't know Jesus. All they knew was mama. They knew where he grew up. But so close had God become to them, they couldn't recognize him. Sometimes we do the same thing to each other. Oh, I know Steve Thorne. I knew him way back when. I know the real story on Stephen. From Benangle Street, Miss Faye's son. I knew him in the seminary. Well, if I don't come here just as Stephen, I know who I am. I know where I've been. But I come here Sunday after Sunday for one reason: to remind you of a man who saved you, a man who kind to you, a man who raised you up. And it's not me. It's not me. It's not me. You see, sometimes church folks cling to the pastor. Don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. Don't cling to any man. You put your hope, you put your faith, you put your everything in Jesus. In Jesus. Get up! Get up! Get up and give him the praise, the thanks. Jesus. Only in Jesus. Only in God. Only in God. You find your strength and your hope in God. And the line I love so much, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The folks in the gospel didn't get it. They didn't get it. Who does he think he is? God has come among us in the person of Jesus. And if you know him, you know where your strength, your greatness, and your power lies, in the person of Christ. I'm so glad, church, he wasn't concerned about his crowd size on Calvary, because all he had there was his mother and his best friend. I'm so glad, church, he wasn't worried about weapons and blowing people and bombing them out of them, because all the weapon he had, he said, I could throw down legions of angels to stop this, but I shall not. I never heard Jesus insult or call someone a name. Didn't have to. In fact, he never said a mumbling word on the cross, but Father, forgive them. We are great when we love each other. We are great when we serve each other. We are great when we lift up the poor and those who suffer injustice. We are great when we see in every person, the image and likeness of God. I'm not sure what kind of hat you wear, but I want to make sure I got on my Jesus hat. Make sure I'm wearing my hat that says, I am his child. I am saved. I am loved by Jesus. Because of that, yes, I have strength, greatness, and power. Amen.